Hello and welcome back to the Penalty Box Podcast. Liam Godmer here, as always, with my good friend and co-host Will Peschek. And Will, today is the day. It is free agency day in the National Hockey League, and there have been so many moves, not just today, but going back into yesterday. We need to talk about so many things going around the NHL, but since we are both Rangers and Islanders fans, let's focus on that front. And Will, for our favorite teams, things have been very quiet and eerily quiet. Now, the general manager for the Islanders, Lou Lamoriello, is notorious for being quiet come free agency time. He does not want to get anything leaked, whether that's with the players that he has rights to or whether that's players that he is going to sign in the future. So that's not entirely a surprise. For the Rangers, Chris Drury, it's a waiting game with the Buffalo Sabres. We're going to get into all of that and the Jack Eichel talk as this saga just continues and nobody is flinching. Kevin Adams is not flinching for the Sabres and neither is Chris Drury. So whoever flinches first, I guess that will give our answer to the Eichel situation, but we'll talk about that in a little bit. Will, I want to start off with the Islanders. And obviously, the Islanders were linked to a bunch of the big-name players, your Vladimir Tarasenko's, your Gabriel Landeskog, Kyle Palmieri potentially re-signing, Mike Hoffman, who is a goal-scoring free agent. And since Lou Lamoriello put forth all these moves to clear up cap space, like leaving Jordan Eberle unprotected, that's $5.5 million gone, Nick Leddy getting traded to the Detroit Red Wings, everybody thought, including myself, and yourself, that there was going to be a big move to be made. And Will, you said that it was going to be Gabriel Landeskog. It's not Landeskog. Landeskog re-signed with the Colorado Avalanche late last night on a multi-year extension. So my question to you, are you entirely surprised that we are 2 hours into free agent frenzy and Lou has been as quiet as he is? And where do you go now after clearing up all that cap space for a player that just re-signed with his former team?
Well, am I surprised? No. But what I will say is this, is it has been rumored that Kyle Palmieri has been locked up long-term by the Islanders. And it's also been rumored that Zach Parise has chosen the Islanders, but they have yet to announce it. And notoriously, Lou Lamoriello likes to announce free agent signings at or after 4 p.m. So right when this podcast ends, you will see the news that comes out. And as far as Casey Cizikas goes, I don't think Cizikas leaves. He has every right to go this far into free agency. Of course, last time he did not get this far. Islanders locked him up in May, so he avoided free agency. But this is his time to do it. He has every right to do it. It's his last big payday. He wants to make sure his family is set up financially. But I think his heart is here, and I think he stays here because he's a tremendous piece to this Islander team. And as far as Landeskog goes, am I stunned he stayed in Chicago in Colorado? Absolutely not. I would not have given him 7x7. I think that would have been too much for Landeskog, but the Islanders cap crunch. You also have to factor in that they need Adam Pelkey's a new deal. So does Mobilier. So does Sorokin. I will say, an under-the-radar name, Brandon Saad. Now, he's been linked to the Islanders. He could be that first-line right wing. You don't need to get the Landeskogs. Tarasenko will be cheaper because with his injury history, his asking price may be a lot down than what people thought it might be. And you never, never know what Luke could be up to.
Absolutely, Will. And, you know, you talk about, you made a good point where you said you weren't comfortable as an Islander fan going 7x7 for Gabe Landeskog. But do keep in mind that Tarasenko, if I'm not mistaken, is making $7.25 million, and he's a player with an injury history. Now, I've talked about on this podcast many times about how I think Tarasenko could be a fit for the Islanders, but if Lou wasn't able to lock down Landeskog, I just don't know if there's really a fit at this point between Tarasenko and the Islanders. Too much risk with the injury, and if you're going to be adding $7 million, you know, onto the cap hit, and, you know, that might prevent you from signing an RFA like Anthony Beauvillier or Ilya Sorokin. I don't think that's a risk Lou wants to take. Now, as far as Casey Cizikas, I actually think that no free agents signing with the Islanders is a good sign for Casey Cizikas. Lou is keeping everything under wraps. Now, if the Islanders were going out and signing Palmieri, like that became official, they signed Beauvillier, they signed Sorokin, they signed Adam Pelech, then that's a sign that maybe Casey Cizikas isn't coming back. But until something comes out, something leaks out from Lou Lamoriello about where he's going to go during this free agency period, I'm not worried about the Islanders losing Casey Cizikas. I think he's going to stay, but it definitely is a little peculiar that Lewis, as quiet as he is, and I would be stunned if by, 4 o'clock, like you had mentioned previously, there are no moves announced. But my last question for you on the Islanders front is this. There is an obvious need to add up front and add goal scoring. And now we've kind of come to the fact that it's not going to be Landeskog. It's probably not going to be Tarasenko. Will, are you content running it back next year with Kyle Palmieri and a couple of, maybe a Brandon Saad and add that to a healthy Anders lead? Do you think that's enough to get this team over the hump? You're muted, Will.
I think Anders Lee, Kyle Palmieri, and Zach Parise is an upgrade over no Anders Lee in the postseason, Kyle Palmieri and Jordan Eberle, and sure, throw in Travis Zajac. Now you have Anders Lee, who's a poor man's Gabriel Landeskog, which, by the way, they now make the same contract. Anders Lee is 7x7, while Landeskog is 8x7. So they make the same deal, and they're the same type of player. The two-way player that goes to the net, he's a gritty player. Great, you have that in Anders Lee. Now you have Kyle Palmieri, who still is a lot – he's actually younger than Jordan Eberle. A lot of people don't know that. He's younger than Jordan Eberle, and he could be the first line right wing. And now you just bring in Zach Parise, whose power play numbers are great, and he scores 20 goals on a consistent basis, and he's a third line wing for the Islanders now. And also, Oliver Wahlstrom is going to take a massive step this season, and I think that's what they're relying on this year. So I think that Palmieri, Lee, and Parise is an upgrade from Eberle, Palmieri, and Zajac, and I think it's an obvious upgrade.
I think it's an obvious upgrade as well, but I do have one additional question. Is that enough? Is that enough? Because we saw how goal-starved the Islanders were, not just this postseason, but going into last postseason. If they just had a little bit of extra jump in either of those years, Will, you've said it multiple times, they could be Stanley Cup champions right now because, they took the former Stanley Cup champions 2 years running to 7 games.
As of right now, the Lightning are significantly worse. No Barkley Goodrow, no Tyler Johnson, no Blake Coleman.
We will get to the Tampa Bay Lightning because they've made a ton of headlines in the past couple hours here. But let's get to the Rangers quickly because it's been every other team besides the Rangers and the Islanders that have been making the big splashes here. Now, the Rangers, they don't do anything huge.
Talk about overpay.
Yes.
Rob McGinn to the Pittsburgh Penguins, 4 years, $11 million. Talk about a quite overpay for Brock McGinn.
Yes, we will certainly get into all of that. There have been a lot of overpays, and I'm going to get into later in the show some deals that I like and some deals that I don't. Spoiler alert, that Brock McGinn deal is not a part of the deals that I like. But Will, the Rangers, they add Jared Tinordi to this blue line alongside Patrick Nemeth. Both really, not risky deals. Both defensemen who are big, 6'3 or bigger, like to throw around the body, are going to be sixth and seventh defensemen respectively. But Will, I think the biggest storyline that you can take out of what the Rangers and Chris Drury have done on this free agency day is that they've solved the Tom Wilson problem. Because with Barkley Goodrow and Sammy Blais, who are supposed to be on the third line together, they're going to be throwing bodies around like crazy. And Will, I don't know if you knew this, but going back to last year, newly acquired Rangers defenseman Jared Tinordi had a huge fight with Tom Wilson in the shortened season. And it was around 50-50. Wilson didn't get the better of him. And I think Chris Drury is ready for a fight come opening night because the Rangers are in Washington for that.
Liam, we talk about with the Rangers and them trading away Pavel Buchnevich, who now just signed a long-term contract with the St. Louis Blues. Jack Eichel, his name is still out there. He has yet to be traded by the Buffalo Sabres. The asking price is up there. I mean, I don't know how Buffalo and Vegas didn't make that deal. If that's what they were asking for, Vegas should make that deal in a heartbeat. But with the moves that they're making, it seems like they don't have any more cap space with it. The Rangers are interesting because now they're spending money that could be put towards Jack Eichel's $10 million cap hit. Is he going to be a Ranger? What is going to happen with Jack Eichel moving forward?
Well, Will, it's interesting you mentioned that because a report just came out that things are dead quiet on the Jack Eichel front. There is absolutely nothing that insiders are picking up. And Will, I think Vegas is out of it, like you just said. And I'll get into Vegas because they've made some very questionable moves even yesterday into today. But I think there are two teams left in on Jack Eichel. One is the Anaheim Ducks and the other is the New York Rangers. The Ducks have not been able to move on Trevor Zegras. That's the main piece that Kevin Adams and the Buffalo Sabres want in return for Jack Eichel. So it's a waiting game there. And from the Rangers, they want either Nils Lundqvist, who was drafted in, you know, the late first round, the only piece from the Ryan McDonagh and JT Miller deal with the Tampa Bay Lightning that has worked out in some capacity, or Braden Schneider, who was drafted number 15 in last year's draft, a physical defenseman who is really moving up the prospect rankings as somebody who can be a real steal at number 15. So I think it's who's going to flinch? Who's it going to be? Is it going to be the Anaheim Ducks? Is it going to be the New York Rangers? Or is Buffalo just going to sit there and wait with their disgruntled star player? Because out of Jack Eichel's camp, they don't have any more patience. They're done waiting. They're ready to move on. They're ready to get this neck injury, you know, fixed and moved on with. And Kevin Adams is not content with that. And I get it. Don't get me wrong. I get it. This is the biggest move Kevin Adams is ever going to make in his career as general manager of the Buffalo Sabres. You have a superstar. You have a top five, arguably a top five center in the National Hockey League, who is not happy with his position on the team. And you have to move him, and you have to get good assets back. And I think if you learned anything from the Sam Reinhart deal to the Florida Panthers that just transpired a couple of days ago, this could not go well for Adams. You know, like, they didn't get enough back for Reinhart. I wonder if that's the same for Eichel. And that's a mistake that Kevin Adams does not want to make again. But Will, it's really that simple. Who's going to flinch first? Who's it going to be? Is it going to be Anaheim giving up Zegras, the Rangers giving up Schneider or Lundqvist, or is Buffalo going to do what I did not envision that they could have done at the beginning of the offseason and keep Jack Eichel? I just, that's the only three scenarios that really work out for me. The Los Angeles Kings have just signed Philippe Deneau to a six-year contract worth $5.5 million per season. That essentially takes them out of the Jack Eichel race. Minnesota came out today in a report and said that they are no longer in on Jack Eichel. Montreal doesn't have the cap space. Vegas doesn't have the cap space. It's Rangers or the Ducks, and it's just wait and see. And I wouldn't be surprised if this saga goes well past today, because I thought it was going to be done at the draft and nothing happened. And you know what that tells me? Things are not even close. Kevin Adams is not even on the phone with Bob Murray or Chris Drury of the Rangers.
Well, that's why I don't think Jack Eichel goes straight. You know, I honestly don't. And if I'm Chris Drury and if I'm Bob Murray, the Anaheim Ducks, I pull out. I'm pulling out to show the Buffalo Sabres that the asking price is not just high for us, it's high for the entire National Hockey League. And I get it. Jack Eichel is a top five center in the league when healthy and when producing at a consistent level. But Kevin Adams has every right to ask for their best prospect and their best young talent. If I was in the same situation as Kevin Adams and I'm on the phone with the New York Rangers, the first player I'm asking for in that deal is Adam Fox. And I think that's a fair assessment. You have, in order to get the best, you have to sacrifice some.
Yeah, but Will, you have to understand that Jack Eichel has a neck injury, and Jack Eichel, you don't know whether Eichel's going to be the same player that he was before that.
He is still Jack Eichel.
Yes, but Jack Eichel with a damaged neck is not worth the Norris Trophy winner. It's just, he's just not. And nor is he worth Adam Fox, and he's not worth Alexi Lafreniere or Kaapo Kakko. Maybe he's worth Kaapo Kakko.
Well, but what?
But not those two.
What are you offering if you are the Rangers? Because they're not taking Filipino and they're not taking Ryan Strome. They want players that they could build their team around.
Well, I agree on Strome. I disagree on Hedo. Hedo's still a good player. Hedo is a first-round draft pick, and their requests are four first-round type players. Hedo was drafted in the first round. He's developed nicely since his draft year, which I believe was 2017 or 2018. He's actually one of the best players from that draft, even scoring 23 points in 50 games this season. So I think Hedo is a strong piece. Now, the Rangers are willing to put in Kravtsov. I think that's important. Ninth overall pick. He has great comparables from other Russian players. He's going to be a great player. Now, it really just comes down to, will Chris Drury give up Schneider or Lundqvist? And Lundqvist is lighting it up in the Swedish Hockey League, playing with men. He looks like an Erik Karlsson type player. I know it's a wide range projection, but he looks like that type of offensive talent on the blue line. Braden Schneider, he's a Scott Stevens type. He's a guy who's going to hit everything that moves. So no wonder Chris Drury doesn't want to move on from Braden Schneider. That's exactly the type of team that he's trying to mold the Rangers into. So it's a count and mask game. I don't think the Sabres have any leverage at this point. And I think if they keep him, I think Jack Eichel is going to get so frustrated, we might have a situation where Jack Eichel might not want to play for the Buffalo Sabres if he is still under contract with that team come the start of the season. He's getting traded, but I think it's going to take down to the wire because Kevin Adams is not going to get fleeced on this one.
You know what Kevin Adams should do is, in order for Jack Eichel's value to go up, he has to play. So play until the trade deadline, and if he's the Jack Eichel of old, now your asking price goes a lot higher.
Well, the problem is that Jack Eichel demands that he get surgery, and the Buffalo Sabres are not on board with that. They're not on board with whatever Jack Eichel wants to do to rehabilitate his neck. So he might not even be playing any games if they can't come to a conclusion on what's best, you know, to fix this neck issue. So it's really a double-layered thing. Yes, you have to trade him, but this guy has a serious neck issue that you need to find a way to fix if you want to see him on the ice, if you're Kevin Adams, general manager of the Buffalo Sabres. So it is such a sticky situation. No wonder it is taking this long. Whoever flinches first is going to get the player, but honestly, Will, being a huge Ranger fan and being a big fan of Jack Eichel ever since his draft year in 2015, I can tell you I'm just exhausted and I'm just ready for this saga to come to a close. Maybe it does by the next time we meet on the penalty box, but we'll certainly see. We have a lot more to get into here. And Will, I want to get into the big of the free agent signings and the big trades that happened. But I think before we get to the free agent signings, we need to talk about what happened yesterday and the despicable move that Kelly McCrinnon and the Vegas Golden Knights did to Marc-Andre Fleury yesterday. They traded him to the Chicago Blackhawks for absolutely nothing. And how did Marc-Andre Fleury find out that he got traded? Well, he found out through Twitter. And if you want to add more salt to the wound, I guess Kelly McCrinnon realized that it's not a good move to move out your star player, your face of the franchise goaltender, for absolutely nothing. He gets a prospect back. Listen to this. He gets a prospect back from the Chicago Blackhawks and then announces that the prospect that they got in return is going to continue playing for the Chicago Blackhawks organization, even though Vegas has his rights. This whole situation is such a slap in the face to Marc-Andre Fleury. I cannot even continue to comprehend it. Fleury should not play for the Blackhawks. He should definitely consider retirement. If you ask me, in the twilight years of Marc-Andre Fleury's career, two places make sense: Pittsburgh Penguins, Vegas Golden Knights. And Vegas put the hypothetical sword right through his back that we love to see on social media. What do you think about that? Are you as appalled with this move as I am? And to respond to this by going out and acquiring Evgeny Dadonov and Lawrence Brossoit, two players that equal the same cap hit as Marc-Andre Fleury, if I'm a Vegas fan, I'm appalled.
It's an interesting development, but here's where I stand. I'm in the minority. I do not blame Vegas for trading him at all. He has a high salary cap. He has a high cap hit. And when you have two goaltenders making almost $12 to $14 million on your payroll, I understand that decision. And Robin Leonard is a lot harder to move because it's a multi-year deal where Fleury has less years left and he's a Vezina Trophy winner. A couple times as a trophy winner. But what I don't agree on is finding out through social media and getting the prospect who's playing for Chicago. And Chicago, we got to talk about them later on in the show.
Yeah.
They're competing for now a Stanley Cup now. Seth Jones, Tyler Johnson, and now Marc-Andre Fleury if he plays. But I do not fault them for trading Marc-Andre Fleury. I don't, because I understand why they did it. The way they did it could have been more professional.
But Will, I understand what you're saying, but the 7 million, look, the whole reason why, going back to last year, the Vegas Golden Knights wanted to trade Marc-Andre Fleury was to get rid of that $7 million cap hit. They do that, but they add $7 million back the next day on two players that are not even close to, you know, to being worth $7 million. Lawrence Brossoit, yes, good backup goaltender, played well behind Connor Hellebuyck with the Winnipeg Jets the last couple of years. But Evgeny Dadonov, somebody who was signed to a free agent contract by the Ottawa Senators, the Senators gave him a chance to play in the top six all 56 games this season, and is getting paid $5.5 million. That's who you go get? Well, if you're trading Marc-Andre Fleury's contract to go get Jack Eichel or to make a bigger move, okay, Kelly McCrimmon, I get it. That's a good move. But to bring in Dadanov and Brossoit, I don't get it. I don't understand. The Vegas Golden Knights got worse this offseason, and I don't really think it's really close. And as far as Robin Leonard, you want to go back further? I love Robin Leonard. Somebody who advocates for mental health issues like Leonard does. I think he is a tremendous story. He was a great story with the Islanders, and he's been able to reinvigorate his career with Vegas. What a story. But they shouldn't have even signed him in the first place, to be honest with you. They should have owed it to Marc-Andre Fleury to carry him throughout the rest of the contract. And what else did Fleury have to do? He went out in the 56-game season and won the freaking Vezina Trophy, and you still trade him away for nothing, and you let him know through Twitter. Again, I'm just appalled. I don't get it. There has to be another move coming. But if Dadanov, Brossoit, and Brett Howden are the moves that the Vegas Golden Knights are going to make this offseason, they can kiss the Western Conference Finals goodbye. They can kiss the Stanley Cup Final goodbye. I don't think they're going to get anywhere close to that, because I'll say it once again, the Vegas Golden Knights got worse today. But moving on, Will, I think we have to talk about another move I didn't like. And you're going to disagree with me because you just praised it. The Seth Jones deal, all of it. I don't like it at all. I think that's going to be one of the worst contracts in the entire NHL. I think that is a contract on par with the Louis Erickson contract that the Vancouver Canucks gave him a number of years ago, which they just got off their hands after years of being cap compliant with him. But 8 years, $9.5 million per year for Seth Jones. I mean, oh, that is brutal. Remember this conversation right now. And I'm not the only person saying this, but remember the conversation right now. When you look at this contract 5 years from now, and the Chicago Blackhawks have to pay four more years at $9.5 million in a flat cap world for Seth Jones. That's brutal. And they gave up Adam Boqvist, a first round pick, a second round pick, and another pick. Well, I would take Adam Boqvist over Seth Jones right now. Seriously, $9.5 million for 8 years. That is brutal.
No, it's a lot of money. That's it is a lot brutal. Of money, obviously. But you know what this shows to the Chicago fans? That they are committed to winning. That they want to win now with Jonathan Taves and Patrick Kane still on this team. They want to win now. And they just went out and they added more salary in Tyler Johnson.
I get it. And do I think that this move makes them better next year? Yeah, I do. I think adding Tyler Johnson and Seth Jones, and of course they acquired Caleb Jones as well from the Edmonton Oilers, who is actually the brother of Seth Jones. I think they're going to be better next year. But what happens if Marc-Andre Fleury decides to retire? And then what happens if Seth Jones falls off a cliff like I think he does? Then what happens? Stan Bowman, I wouldn't say brutal. This is a bold decision by Stan Bowman to sign this defenseman for 8 years, $9.5 million. He's putting all the decks right in the middle here. He wants one last Stanley Cup with Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews. Let's see how it works out for him. But I'm going to stand here right now on free agency day on July 28th, 2021, saying that the Chicago Blackhawks, that Seth Jones contract is going to be the worst contract in the National Hockey League. Give it 3 years. Give it 3 years before that's the worst contract in the National Hockey League. I stand by it. I like Seth Jones. Yeah,
breaking news at NHL, the Tampa Bay Lightning and Braden Point, 8-year contract, $9.5 million a year.
Now that's a $9.5 million contract that's worth it right there. I love it. What do you think, Will?
Well, he's worth it, right? It's safe to say now that they are probably at the salary max.
Yes.
And they're not the same team as they were. So they're a playoff team, but are they a Stanley Cup contender?
I still think that they are, but I think that I can sit here a couple months after the Lightning won the Stanley Cup and say that they're not a better team than they were a couple months ago. We'll see where it takes them. Is it still enough to get them over the hump and a third straight Stanley Cup? We'll see. They got Pat Maroon on their team, so they're well on their way looking for a fourth straight
Stanley Cup. Can I ask you this question?
Go for it.
The worst move, in my opinion, this year, so far, what on earth are the Seattle Kraken doing?
Yeah.
They said with the expansion draft, they wanted to have salary cap. So in a couple of years, they're not like Vegas where they have no salary cap and they have no draft picks. Okay, I understand. Their offense is brutal. 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 Their top line has to be Yanni Gord, Jordan Eberle, and somebody else. Their defense, I think, is very good. I think they have a very good defense. Goaltending, sure. But they want to save money. But now they're out here offering Jaden Schwartz a contract. Right? They just got Philippe Danault.
And Philippe Danault went to the Kings. But
that's right. Right. And now they just signed the goaltender.
Mm-hmm. Philip Grubauer, of course. And Grubauer was.
What are they trying to do? What are they going to do with Chris Drieger?
Well, I don't understand the move for Philip Grubauer. I assume that they are going to go with a 1A, 1B type scenario with Drieger and Philip Grubauer. But past that, I'm a little bit confused as you are, Will, because you got Vitek Vanacek, who proved this year in the 56-game season after Henrik Lundqvist went down with heart issues, that he is a legit backup goalie in this league. He can be a starter on some teams. And they select Joey Decord from the Ottawa Senators, 24 years old, who I think is going to be a pretty good goaltender himself. I'm high on Joey Decord. So this wasn't a need for me. Here's what I think happened, if you ask me. I think that Seattle put all their chips in the middle to try and sign Gabriel Landeskog. And it just didn't work. And Ron Francis just said, you know what? All right, Joe Sakic, if you're going to sign Landeskog, then we'll sign the one that you can't. And that's Philip Grubauer. So look, it makes them a better team, but is that a move that they needed to make? Absolutely not. And Will, I think a move that we can expect in the next couple of days here. Don't be surprised if Vitek Vanacek gets traded back to the Washington Capitals to be their backup goaltender next year, because there's not enough room for four goalies. You're not moving out Grubauer. You're definitely not moving out Drieger, and you shouldn't be moving out Joey Decord. So we'll see what happens. And as far as Jaden Schwartz, I like Schwartz. Maybe a little bit overpaid. This could be a contract that I could see not really working out in the next couple of years. But Will, like you mentioned, Seattle Kraken need offense right now, and they need as many top line wingers as they can possibly get. And Jaden Schwartz is a top six winger who's good defensively. So, you know, not a bad deal for the Kraken, but I don't know how much better they got adding $18 million in cap.
Ryan Suter to Dallas on a 4-year contract for a 37-year-old. I mean, that's a head scratcher. And when it was reported he wanted a multi-year deal, probably 4, and it was between Dallas and the Islanders, I prayed he was not going to the Islanders, because I did not need another 4-year contract for a 37-year-old where he's going to be bought out in a couple of years. But here's what I'll say is this. The Islanders have to replace Nick Leddy. And I know the perfect replacement for Nick Leddy, a very cheap defenseman, played for the New Jersey Devils this year. His name is Ryan Murray.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Ryan Murray could be an interesting fit. I know the Devils, and we'll get into the Devils. They possibly made the biggest free agent acquisition of any team in the NHL. But yeah, definitely. There are a lot of the small-time top six defensemen that can really use a spot in the NHL. I believe Sammy Vatanen is another one that I believe is a free agent, if I'm not mistaken. But yeah, the Islanders, they definitely need to replace Nick Leddy. We'll see what they do to add to that blue line. But Will, I just want to wrap up the moves that I did not like by talking about perhaps the most disgraceful one on the entire NHL. The Carolina Hurricanes signed Tony DeAngelo to a 1-year, $1 million contract. And well, I'm not sure if you've seen it all over social media, but Carolina Hurricanes fans, when this was rumored to have been taking place, you know, as early as yesterday, they said they're gonna, you know, not be a season ticket holder anymore. They're gonna sell their tickets. They're gonna, you know, just pretty much just blacklist, you know, the Carolina Hurricanes organization. This is a racist, this is a sexist player who has had evidence of him doing that to teammates in the junior level. He had a fight with Alexander Georgiev in the locker room. He has been rumored to say some not so great things to Rangers player Keandre Miller. I just don't get it. And I really don't get it that Rod Brind'Amour, a coach that is as, you know, hard-nosed and no bullshit like he is, bringing Tony DeAngelo into that locker room. I just don't get it. And just overall for the Carolina Hurricanes, this has been such a Jekyll and Hyde free agency for them, because I have some moves that I really like, and then I have some moves that I didn't. But going into yesterday, seeing that they trade Nedeljkovic for nothing, pretty much a third-round pick.
Jurassic.
And they lose – well, I actually like that move. But, yes – they trade Nedeljkovic to Detroit, and then they bring in Tony DeAngelo. I was appalled by that. But then they make a good move, and they pretty much swap goalies with the Toronto Maple Leafs. Mrazek goes to the Leafs. Freddie Anderson goes to the Hurricanes, the team that originally drafted him in 2011. I'm 50-50 on the Hurricanes. I think it's a terrible decision to bring in Tony DeAngelo. That's not going to work out with Rod Brind'Amour. But they got the number one goalie they needed, and that's Freddie Anderson. And they got rid of the head case that is Peter Mrazek. So I'm very 50-50.
Is your backup now in Carolina?
And I love Antti Raanta. He's great with the New York Rangers, but he's been injured a lot in the last couple of seasons with the Arizona Coyotes. So we'll see how that works out for them. But Will, I want to get your reaction to the Tony DeAngelo signing. Somebody was going to sign him. What do you think about Carolina making that move, and specifically Rod Brind'Amour being the coach?
Well, I think if there's one coach that can get this guy into the right place, it is Rod Brind'Amour. And I think that's why they made the move. And I think it's for the player and for the team. We all know what DeAngelo can do when he plays. He had a 50-point season 2 years ago before COVID-19 struck. He played one game for the Rangers. I'm sorry. He played a couple of games for the Rangers in 2020-2021. But if there's one coach that could kick his ass into shape, it is Rod Brind'Amour.
Right. Yeah, and I guess you can look at it that way. GM Don Waddell, he said, and I quote in response to the one-year deal for DeAngelo, we've done a lot of background work on this player, and we are confident that he can be a positive addition to our group. I don't know what in DeAngelo's history shows you that he can be a positive addition to the group, but I will let Carolina Hurricanes fans and Carolina Hurricanes personnel really work through that. It's going to be interesting how this all develops going into next year. I do think that Carolina got better, but did they get better through a PR standpoint? I'm not sure they did with the signing of DeAngelo. And Will, there's one more move that I didn't like. And the Edmonton Oilers, they re-signed Tyson Barrie today to a multi-year extension. Now, Barrie put up a ton of points, the most points of any defenseman in the National Hockey League last year, playing with Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl on the power play for the Oilers. That I like. That was a move that they had to make. But then they go out and sign Cody Ceci to a multi-year deal worth north of $3 million. Man, oh man, Ceci and Barrie, that's got me saying yikes in my sleep. And you know what? I bring you back to the Toronto Maple Leafs during the bubble. A defensive pair that they had was Cody Ceci and Tyson Barrie, and it was not good. I do not know what Ken Holland and the Edmonton Oilers are doing. And to add on to that, Will, they trade Ethan Bear, one of their top defensive prospects, a top four D-man in the league already at a young age, to the Carolina Hurricanes for Warren Fogle. I don't get it. I think Edmonton's going to take a really big step back, and this is a missed opportunity for Ken Holland. They stayed mediocre in the goaltending by re-signing Mike Smith and still having Mikko Koskinen, and they bring in CeCe and Barrie, which does not move the needle at all, in my opinion, on the back end. What do you think about CeCe and Barrie? Does this make them better?
Ryan DeZingle to Arizona, 1 by 1.5, just to throw that out there. As far as CeCe and Barrie go, yeah. I mean, Edmonton just continues to waste away careers, years off Connor McDavid's career. It's really quite fascinating to, to say the least, how this just continues to happen. Where do they go from here?
Well, it's very interesting because the Oilers lost Oscar Klefbom, and there's talk that he may not be back for the next couple seasons here. He had shoulder surgery before the 2020 season, and he was really their number one, number two defenseman alongside Darnell Nurse. So they needed to get some depth. I understood that, but there are cheaper options that can provide you better play than Cody Ceci can. Now, Tyson Barrie, you could talk about his defensive deficiencies all you want. They definitely exist. They definitely are there. But you know what? He's such an offensive upgrade, and he played so well with Draisaitl and McDavid on the power play that I think that's a move that they had to make. But they could have had some better options than Cody Ceci. But enough of the negativity. Let's go into some moves I do like. Now, I talked about Carolina acquiring Ethan Bear and Freddie Anderson. Those are two moves I like. I think they got better today. David Savard signs a four-year, I believe it was a $14 million contract with the Montreal Canadiens. Will, we saw how good David Savard was with the Tampa Bay Lightning after being acquired from the Columbus Blue Jackets at the trade deadline last year. I like it for Marc Bergevin. He re-signs Joel Armia. He brings David Savard into the fold, into that back end after losing Shea Weber. That's a good move. And if you're Ken Holland, you got to be looking at Savard signing 4x14 and wondering, wow, why wasn't I in on that? Instead, he's got Cody Ceci 3 years times 9.25. So what do you think about David Savard? I think he's a big time get. I think he was one of the biggest reasons why Tampa Bay were able to become back-to-back Stanley Cup champions last year. Good move for Montreal.
I also think another good move I like is he and Cole going to Carolina. That's a cheap 1 year deal worth $2 billion. And Carolina, they had one of the best young defensive cores in the league. And all of a sudden that's, you know, dwindled away. So,
yeah, certainly, Will. A couple of other moves of note here. And, Will, you've talked about it for a long time here in discussions of the offseason about how you think that the Philadelphia Flyers did not get better this offseason despite all the moves that they made. They make another one today, and this is a little bit low risk, but Martin Jones signs with the Philadelphia Flyers to become a backup, seemingly, to Carter Hart. I don't hate this, to be honest. Now, is Martin Jones the goaltender that he was? No, he's not. He's never going to be a starter in the National Hockey League again. But this is also a goaltender that has taken the San Jose Sharks to the Stanley Cup final in 2016. And personally, I think he can help Carter Hart along to alleviate some of the issues that he ran into last year. What do you think about that?
I think if Carter Hart has another bad year, they're going to use Martin Jones, and he's a guy that took the San Jose Sharks to the Stanley Cup. He knows what to do. He's been there before. I think it's a low risk, high reward situation. And I think another one of those goes to Braden Holtby, who sides with Dallas. Yeah. Obviously now you have Ben Bishop there, and Braden Holtby, two veteran goaltenders who have went to the Stanley Cup. One has won a Stanley Cup. Again, low risk, high reward situations. I think it's a good indication that some of these goalies, they don't have a long track, you know, they don't have long careers as starters in the NHL.
Right. There's going to come a point where many of the former starters are going to make their way into backup roles. And we have certainly seen that. Braden Holtby has kind of fallen off a cliff for me a little bit. You know, he signs with the Vancouver Canucks, is a 1B, I guess you could say, to Thatcher Demko last year. Things don't work out. Vancouver ends up buying him out after, shockingly, Seattle decides not to go with Braden Holtby, and then Dallas jumps on him. So I don't hate that move at all. Another interesting move to keep an eye on, the former backup of the Philadelphia Flyers, Brian Elliott, goes to the Tampa Bay Lightning. That's a move I like a lot. I think Elliott was one of the most underrated backup goaltenders in the last few seasons. Going now to back up the best goaltender in the world in Andrei Vasilevskiy, that's a good under-the-radar move. Don't look past that one. And Will, finally, to get off of the goaltending front, perhaps the biggest deal made today, second biggest deal, the biggest forward deal made today, in my opinion, Philippe Deneau, after his tremendous, tremendous run in the Stanley Cup playoffs with the Montreal Canadiens, he signs with the Los Angeles Kings on a six-year deal worth $5.5 million per season. Deneau is perhaps the best shutdown center in the entire National Hockey League. He proved it this year. He wins faceoffs at what's got to be a north of 55% clip. And now, Will, let me just read off the center depth for you for the Los Angeles Kings for the remainder of this contract for Philippe Deneau. You have Anze Kopitar, who he is as described. Philippe Deneau, who's going to be very, very good in his own right. Alexander Turcotte, who was drafted number 5 overall in 2018. He's going to be a big-time center for them. Gabe Vilardi, who has came in and played very well. And, of course, Quinton Byfield, who was drafted number 3 behind Tim Stützle by the Kings in 2019. So this center depth right now for the Kings is fantastic and a great reason why I think they are out on Jack Eichel completely. I think Deneau to the Kings is one of the moves that can bring LA back to a playoff spot in what is right now, in my opinion, a very wide open Pacific Division. So we'll see what happens with all of that. And Will, Blake Coleman signs with the Calgary Flames, 5 years, $4.9 million. And Will, I don't know if you noticed this, but a very interesting tidbit on this deal for Blake Coleman is that it was actually Jimmy Hayes, brother of Kevin Hayes, who currently plays in the National Hockey League, who broke this signing. And of course, Coleman was one of the most anticipated guys where he was going to go come free agency. And it is Jimmy Hayes who makes that announcement. But Will, we got one more move to get into. Dougie Hamilton, he signs with the New Jersey Devils. That was the big fish.
I don't know about that just yet. I do not know about that just yet. I'm going to pause on that for a second. I'll pull this up to show you. Supposedly,
Kevin Weeks did come out and say that. I knew that there was some questions with it, but I believe it was going to go through. What do you see, Will?
Supposedly on Twitter, this is from Rob Twab. He says, and I'll share the screen for those viewing at home. They want to know, they don't know what's holding up. Darren Dreger, 45 minutes ago, just now, what's holding up with the Dougie Hamilton negotiates with the Devils? He said, I don't know.
Okay, so very interesting there. Maybe so it was
Dougie Hamilton potentially could be going to Newark, but we have no idea what is going on with Dougie Hamilton and the New Jersey Devils.
Well, I mean, it seems like the most likely landing spot right now. So right now, I'd say he probably would become a Devil. Let me just get your thoughts on it, assuming that this goes through. And obviously, if we hear anything, we will be sure to correct ourselves come the next episode. But I think this is a big get if they are able to lock it down for the New Jersey Devils and Tom Fitzgerald. They're getting a top line defenseman, somebody they desperately need. And Will, I think a pairing of Ryan Graves and Dougie Hamilton is pretty, pretty good first line defensive pair for the Devils. And I think that... I think they're going to do really well there.
Liam, I'm noticing a trend. I think Tom Fitzgerald likes offensive-minded defensemen. Let me explain. Will Butcher, did we forget about him? Brings a lot of offense to the table.
Right.
So does Ryan Graves. You know who else has been a career-noted offensive defenseman? That's right, P.K. Subban.
Damon Severson as well. Yeah.
And now you add Dougie Hamilton.
Yeah, obviously the goals have to come from somewhere, right? And the Devils have had such a hard time scoring goals. Obviously, they have Nico Hischier, who is a two-way center at heart. He likes to play as much defensively as he possibly can, as much as he puts towards his offensive game. Jack Hughes hasn't necessarily come into his own, the player that the Devils expect him to be. I think this would be a real good kickoff to what Devils are trying to establish here. They're trying to establish a good back end, a back end that could score. And now with a goaltending tandem of Jonathan Bernier, I believe it was, who signed with the Devils. I will confirm on that. And Mackenzie Blackwood to add to this core up front, which is going to get very, very good in the next couple of years. We'll see. And don't forget that the Devils also drafted Jack Hughes' brother, Luke Hughes, who also plays defense number 4 overall in the 2021 AHL entry draft. So this defense core has gotten very, very crowded very quickly, a lot with guys that can put the puck in the back of the net. But for right now, thank you so much for joining us on the Penalty Box Podcast. As always, Liam Gottmer and Will Peschek. Until next time, we'll have a lot more to talk about with free agency and trades. Does Jack Eichel get moved? Well, only Kevin Adams and Chris Drury and Bob Murray know that answer. So thanks for joining us.